Last Thursday, First Lady Laura Bush was on MSNBC with Norah O'Donnell, and they were talking about all sorts of things, including the war. And I want to play you a little clip of something that Norah O'Donnell asked Mrs. Bush, and then what the First Lady's response was. And then I'll introduce our guest, who's going to talk about a topic related directly to this. So this is last Thursday morning on MSNBC.
Let me ask you then finally just about public opinion when it comes to the Iraq war. At NBC News, we have a new poll out we sponsor with the Wall Street Journal. And the numbers show 2 out of 10 Americans now approve of the president's handling on Iraq. 7 out of 10 less confident that the war will be successful.
Well, I understand why those polls are like that, because of the coverage that we see every single day in Iraq. And it is not encouraging coverage, for sure. There's no doubt about it. But I do know that there are a lot of good things that are happening that aren't covered. Mm-hmm. And I think the drumbeat in the country from the media, from the only way people know what's happening, unless they happen to have a loved one deployed there, is discouraging. And, you know, I know that the facts are not as discouraging.
Yeah.
Absolutely there are. And people do know that and see that. But there are also good things going on that people don't have the chance to see.
What are some of those good things that people should know about?
Schools that are being built, parts of the country that are peaceful, and people are trying to rebuild their lives in a large part of Iraq. And we hear that. We hear that from friends. We hear that from Iraqis. We hear it from our troops who are there. And so I'd like to see the media get a little bit more balanced view of it.
Now, Peter Johnson is a media writer for USA Today. He has a piece in today's paper. The headline, U.S. reporters in Iraq face a new realm of difficulty. It is a terrific piece, and so I've invited Peter to join us here and talk about this a little bit. Peter, welcome to KMOX.
Thanks very much.
Do you think that the First Lady's shot at the media for its reporting in Iraq is deserved?
Not at all. I think that rule number one in politics is blame the media. And when you have reporters in Iraq who can't even go out on an assignment for more than 15 minutes at a time because they're worried about their safety, and the handlers who are driving them around with weapons to guard them say this is the best we can do, trying to find good news in that situation is awfully difficult. That said, they do find the good news. Last week, Dan Harris of ABC, who's one of those reporters I talked to in my article, did a beautiful piece about a kid, a high school boy, who had lived part of the time in the United States, and he was back in Iraq, and he was just so scared to go to high school, and he was a clarinetist, and he was trying to study the clarinet. Really, really uplifting, nice story. And yesterday, or this morning, I guess, last night, Dan did a follow-up on it and said that some rich American had seen the story and volunteered to bring the kid to the United States.
Hmm.
I mean, how much better does that story get? That's on ABC News, seen by probably, 8-9 million people at a night. So, I disagree with her.
Now, when you talk to Dan Harris and Elizabeth Palmer, our colleague from CBS, and David McDougall from Fox News, how dangerous do they tell you life really is there?
It's so dangerous that they really can't give us a true, accurate, full accounting of what's going on there, because they can't leave their posts very often. And I'm talking about they go out on an assignment. They go out on a specific assignment for 15, 20 minutes and then rush back so they can't be targeted. It's really difficult.
And is that in the green zone?
Yeah, well, that's all of Baghdad, just trying to get out. They have to all the people they talk to have to sort of be vetted, because they don't want to get anybody killed for being on American television, seen talking to an American reporter. So from the sound of it, whether it's in the green zone or not, the whole place just sounds like a mess right now.
Is it that dangerous for Iraqis to talk to American reporters?
That's what all of these reporters were saying, that it's now just become it can be potentially fatal just to be seen talking to an American reporter. And something as basic as, are we on the right street headed to this house? if you're seen, you can be targeted for death by one of these insurgent operations. Very, very dangerous place.
Do any of the networks have anyone embedded with the U.S. military anymore?
All of the reporters go out on abetting assignments, but they're very, very wary of doing it because of these roadside bombs. David McDougall told me that he no longer will ride in any Humvees because of the problems they've had with those, and he'll only go on really heavily fortified, you know, troop carriers.
So that's amazing. You can't travel with the United States military. What, do they have to get their own security?
They have, all of the networks are spending millions of dollars on security. We're not talking about Elizabeth Palmer being with one guy with a gun. We're talking about Elizabeth Palmer riding around in an armed vehicle, an armored vehicle, driven by a team of security people with cars ahead of her and cars behind her and sophisticated walkie-talkies, and she's wearing body armor and everybody else is wearing body armor. And at the slightest hint that something is not right up ahead or behind, they're out of there. No story.
What about the Iraqis who are working for the Americans?
Even more dangerous for those people. They come to work every day telling horror stories. Several reporters I talked to last week talked about how entire families have been killed. Interpreters, they'll not be seen for several days, and they'll discover and later that their entire families were wiped out. Horror stories are happening to these interpreters, and a lot of them are bearing the brunt of the attacks against the American military, the American news corps over there, because they're seen as collaborating with, theoretically, an enemy. So the stuff that's being done to them is much worse than the stuff that has happened to American correspondents like Bob Woodruff, and some of the Kimberly Dozier of CBS. You know, some of those horrible attacks that have happened.
Yeah, and a sound man and cameraman
CBS
were killed.
Right, exactly, killed, horrible.
The quote from Mrs. Bush is, there are good things going on that people don't have a chance to see, schools that are being built, parts of the country that are rebuilding. And while all of that may be true, I'm just thinking about coverage of news here in the United States. Not even, I'm not talking about the war in Iraq. I'm talking about domestic coverage. You look at most newspapers, even the radio reports that we have on KMOX, and certainly the TV coverage. When something bad is going on in a city, and, you know, when people get killed, when a bomb goes off, when there's a major shutdown or whatever it is, or the storm a couple of weeks ago that took out power to 2.5 million people here in the St. Louis area, doesn't matter what else is going on, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, it's one of those truisms about life and about journalism, and that is bad news sells. And people, if you have two television networks and one of them is talking about what great relief efforts there are in the storm, and all these good things are happening to rebuild houses and give people food, and the other network is showing people dying and firemen racing to a scene and looting going on, I guarantee you more people will watch the second network.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things about life. It happens.
That being said, if bad news sells, and I believe you're right that it does, and by sells means people watch, people listen when they hear that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Does that then tilt the news? Does it taint the news?
Yeah, I think that that we're all guilty of going for the hyped bad news story, overplaying it a lot. But I think that the media in recent years have definitely tried to change course and tried to bring good news out there. I know that the networks have tried to do this in the war in Iraq, for instance. That example I gave you is just one of dozens of stories that they've done, and of course they could list them for you.
And so maybe the answer to Mrs. Bush would be, you only see the bad news.
That's correct, yeah. Or maybe you are fixated on the bad news because people are accusing your husband of being responsible for
it. Or because, like most Americans, that's what fascinates you more.
Exactly.
That's what you remember. That's what people remember.
Does USA Today have anyone in Baghdad?
Oh, yeah. We have a rotating crew of reporters who go over there in and out. But I can't say that they are being told to be hot dogs over there. You know, a lot of it is you know, watch yourself first. The story can come later.
Why do these reporters keep going back? You talk in the story here about, I think, Dan Harris, the guy from ABC. This is his sixth rotation through. Why, if it's so bad, do they continue to take that story?
It's really interesting when you ask them that. You know, first and foremost, it's the biggest story on the planet right now. It's the most important story. You know, it's the future of a country and a whole region in the world. It's very, very important. But they also think that, you know, American men and women are sacrificing their lives over there. And this is a story that needs to be told for America. And this is what Americans do. We care about each other, and we report the good and the bad about what happens to our men and women in the service. And so that's a story that they're not going to give up on ever, and I don't think that the American media are ever going to give up on it either.
No, I think they're probably frustrated wanting to tell more of the story.
Oh, I'm sure they would love to tell more of the story. This is what these people live and breathe for. They don't like that they can't go and talk to Iraqi people and find out what's on their minds, and, you know, that they run the risk of, if they're not with their handlers, they'll get a sniper will blow their head off. They don't like that at all. Reporters are, you know, naturally gregarious people. They want to go out there and talk to folks and find out what's going on, good and bad.
Peter, how much has the internal decision-making changed from the time when a reporter could say in Baghdad, I'm going to go here today, and just go?
Well, I think it's all relative. It's always been a very dangerous situation there. But I would say, having covered it now since it began, the first several months, maybe the first 6 months there, reporters were pretty free to go wherever they wanted. This is after the invasion, after we took over Baghdad. And they were talking to people, and they were filing all sorts of interesting stories about life over there. And then when the terrorism began and these suicide bombings and just general bombings happened, that's when they started to pull back. And that's been a while. But the story I wrote today delineates it further, and what's going on now is just a horror show. To me, it's akin to what went on in Somalia and places like that. It's out of control.
I think the Dan Harris quote that you've got in your piece sums it up, where he said to his driver, you know, if I get out of this car and take off my flak jacket and get rid of all my security and walk down the street, how long would I last? And the driver said, 4 or 5 seconds.
Matter-of-factly, too. You know, 4 or 5 seconds. It's chilling. It's really chilling.
Peter, nice job with this story. Thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Peter Johnson from USA Today here on the Paul Harris Show, News Talk 1120 KMOX. By the way, here's another quote, not from Peter's story, but from from Michael Ware, who is the CNN Baghdad bureau chief over there. He says, not only are his colleagues putting their lives on the line, but the Iraqis who are trying to cover this themselves are putting their lives on the line. He says, we hire them to work for us. We send them out, but they're being killed in droves. They're really on the journalistic front line. The number of Iraqi journalists who have died in the past year is staggering. So when anybody says, you guys aren't telling the story, you pick up a pen and a pad. You pick up a camera and a microphone. You go stand in their stead. You try to tell the story better than they did and see how it works out for you.